on CBS Sports Radio.
We start hour number two. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. In the Quicken Loan Studios, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Woj is coming in hot. Lots of Woj bombs. Cavaliers have made another deal. All right, so we'll have that for you a little bit later on. Give it to them. They're not sitting around, are they? Cavaliers are not standing pat. We knew they had to blow that thing up, and they're doing their best to do so. More of that coming up. The NBA trade deadline now 2 hours off. Noon Pacific, 3 Eastern time. We have former Colorado Buffalo great. He was an All-American, also an Olympian. Jeremy Bloom coming up in hour number 3. Caron Butler coming up in hour number 3. But right now, we are joined, as I promised, by Ohio State head basketball coach. He's in his first season with the Buckeyes. They beat number 3 Purdue last night. They're 21-5. They're 12-1 in Big Ten play. And they're at home against Iowa on Saturday. Buckeyes head coach Chris Holtmann is my guest. Chris, good to have you back on. How are you?
Great. How are you, Jim? Great to be with you. By the way, I'm interested in that Cavs movement there. I'm very interested in that. Yeah. I had not heard that, so I'm excited to hear what they're doing.
All right, so if you've been watching this, did you see the first move they made when they made the deal with the Lakers earlier this morning?
I did not.
Okay, well, we'll go back to that in a minute. But what they just did, Utah just traded Rodney Hood to Cleveland, according to Woj. And they made a deal earlier today where they sent Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye to the Lakers in exchange for Clarkson and Nance.
Wow. Wow.
And they might be moving. What do you think about that? What's your gut reaction to those deals?
That's really an interesting. I did not know that. So they traded Isaiah, huh?
They did.
Wow. I just didn't see that coming. Obviously, live in the great state of Ohio here and follow the Cavs pretty quickly and love that organization. I'm interested to see. Obviously, they feel strongly about those decisions and feel strongly about their chances here on the closing stretch here. So, big fan of LeBron and how he plays and certainly pulling for those guys.
Chris Holtmann joining us. I appreciate your thoughts on the fly, Chris. With that, you've got a lot going on yourself. Let me first ask you, when you and I spoke in June, shortly after you took over at Ohio State, when you consider where the program was then, what would you have said if I said that in February you'd be 21-5, in first place in the Big Ten, and coming off a win over number 3 Purdue in their house?
Well, I'd have had one of our team doctors give you a good thorough examination, Jim.
Sure.
This has maybe been the most amazing story that I've been able to be a part of in coaching. We started out kind of 5-3 and had some struggles early. Yeah, we had good teams beat us, Jim, but had some struggles early. The former team that I coached, Butler, beat us in the PK-80, and then Clemson beat us, and you know, 5-3 at that point. And to now be 21-5. Is a testament to the leadership of our older guys and how close this group has been. It's been a ride unlike anything I've been a part of, and you know, we're trying to stay in the moment as much as possible because you know, we want it to continue.
Well, Ohio State is at home Saturday against Iowa. Chris Holtmann, my guest. You know, watching that game last night, before the game, you talked to Matt Norlander from CBS Sports, and you told him that in order to beat Purdue, quote, we're going to have to offensively be as efficient as we've been all year. Purdue's going to have to miss some shots. They're too complete of a team. They can get to the Final Four. They can get to a national championship. And to quote, you also said that you were going to have to make some open shots, play that complete game, that as complete a game as you played all year. So what do you make of how your team lived up to all of those goals in that one night?
I think we hit on some of those marks. I don't know that we did have some guys step up and make shots that had not made it up to that point in the season, really, or at least had some inconsistency. So I think any time you go on the road and you play an elite team, and that's what Purdue is. They're an elite team. You know, I'm not saying they're going to make a Final Four, although I think they have a legitimate chance. We all know how hard that is, but they're an elite team, and it was an elite environment. as good as basketball environment as I've ever coached in. Incredible fan base there, and they got an incredible team. But I think we hit on some of those marks, primarily being we were able to defend consistently throughout the night and give their bigs a couple different looks late. And, you know, we decided to go small with a smaller lineup really in the last 10 minutes of the game, Jim, because we were not being as efficient offensively. And, you know, we got down 14, and I felt like we had to get in a little bit better rhythm offensively. And that small lineup helped us.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, exactly what's going on here. You go from being picked 11th to being first in your conference, one of the best teams in the country. I know the season's not over. I know you're focused on Iowa, but there's something magical happening here. How do you explain this turnaround?
Well, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. We are focused on Iowa here on Saturday. I think, you know, we got a kid, Kata Bates-Diop, who I believe is a bona fide NBA player, going to be a good pro for a number of years. And he was injured last year, and early in his career, he's a redshirt junior, Jim. And earlier in his career, he had kind of played, a little bit of a role because they had some talented young guys in the program here. And he has emerged this year, and he's been forced to emerge because we have some depth issues. And he's emerged, and Jayshon Tate, those two older guys, I think we're hungry. You know, when we got here in June, one of the first things I realized is this group was really hungry to get back to the NCAA tournament. They had not been in a couple years, and this is a proud program. And I think anytime you're a coach and you can tap into that hunger, it's a great source of motivation throughout the year because you can remind them of some of the struggles that happened in the past and maybe reasons why. There were struggles, and we've had incredible chemistry. Kata coming back from injury, and being hungry to, I think, prove some people wrong has been great motivation for this group.
And Kata had that putback last night with less than 3 seconds left that gave you the lead. And I know you'd been on him and encouraging him to be even more assertive this year. And he had a big game again last night, and he's played like that. Meanwhile, Chris, as you and I speak, your Cavaliers made another deal. How about this? According to Woj, they're sending Dwayne Wade to Miami.
My goodness. For a pick or?
It just said, we don't know yet. It just says they're trading Dwayne Wade to Miami, league sources tell ESPN.
Boy, that is unbelievable. That's a major roster overhaul.
Here it is. Miami, according to Woj, Miami is going to send a heavily protected second-round pick to Cleveland for Wade, a second-round pick. That's a complete overhaul in Cleveland, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Obviously, you know, they're trying to make a run here, and I give them a lot of credit for that. They're doing everything they can here to put themselves in position with the back half of the season in front of them. So going to be really interesting to see how quickly that that new group comes together. But like I said, when you got a guy like LeBron leading the way, you put yourself in a great position.
You know, it seems to me that if they trade for everybody in the league, maybe LeBron will like it enough that he'll want to stay. We're talking to Chris Holtmann. Let me ask you this. Yeah. When you're taking over a program in your first season and you're dealing with players who did not commit to play for you and who you did not recruit, how do you go about developing the kind of relationships that you have with young men and getting the buy-in that obviously you're getting to have the kind of success that you're having? How have you done that?
Well, the one thing, you know, I think the one thing we as a coaching staff did not want to do is, you know, we were really fortunate. I signed an 8-year contract, and it's obviously a long-term commitment on my part and their part. But the one thing we didn't want to do is sometimes when you start a program and you believe that it's going to be in a rebuild mode, is the first year can almost be looked at as, I don't want to say a throwaway year, but the rebuild starts and you forget about those other those young men that have been in the program that are older guys that really deserve your full commitment. And I think that's the way we looked at it simply is that Jayshon Tate, who's a senior, Kata Bates-Diop, who's a fourth-year redshirt junior, Cam Williams, who's a fifth-year senior, Like, they deserved our very best that we could bring to them. And whether that was going to be a good regular season, and no postseason, or an NIT or an NCAA tournament, they deserved our very best. And we did not want to discard this year in any way, and we never wanted to give that impression. And we tried to make that pretty clear to them early on in the process of getting to know them. And I think any coach will tell you that if you're gonna have a successful relationship, I think it begins with honesty, and out of that came a good amount of trust on their end, on our end. And I think we realized pretty early on that we had some pretty special kids to build around.
Chris Holtman, my guest. One last thought for you. In developing that trust and doing so early on, before you were officially introduced as the head coach on a Monday, you had a secret meeting with the players that included a meal in the locker room on a Friday. A number of the players have said that that meeting was the start of everything. Can you give me a sense? What was that meeting about, and what was that meal like?
Well, you know, Gene Smith, our athletic director here, does an outstanding job. He actually kind of had thought, you know, he wanted me to potentially do the press conference on Friday, and I wasn't quite ready because I didn't have a chance to just process it all, and it just really made the decision on Thursday night. And I said, hey, I just don't feel like – I feel like it's too soon. It's too quick. I've got a team here at Butler that I need to, you know, have a little bit of time with. And he and I talked, and he said, hey, what do you think about us sneaking you over here outside of the media to meet with the players? And I said, oh, that's a great idea. I would like to do that if we can get in and out without anyone noticing on Friday. So they sent a plane over, and I just flew over really quickly and spent about 2.5-3 hours in the locker room. At that time, there were only about 7 or 8 guys. And, you know, we had a really honest conversation about, you know, hey, these are some of my expectations. But more than anything, I'm anxious to get to know them. And I followed up on Saturday when I was back in Indianapolis with a phone call and text. And, you know, I think that was, as you mentioned, hopefully the beginning of them trusting me and trusting us as a coaching staff.
Well, they certainly said as much. Ohio State coming off an enormous win over Purdue, number 3 Purdue last night, 64-63. They're 12-1 in the Big Ten. And they're at home against Iowa on Saturday. Chris Holtman having a huge first year. Chris, nice to have you back. Thanks for joining us after such a big win, especially, and really good to talk to you. And thanks for your thoughts on the Cavaliers on the fly.
Always enjoy being with you, Jim. Thank you.
You too, Chris. Have a great day. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend. Ohio State is having an amazing year. An amazing year. It's a huge win over number 3 Purdue. 1 point last night. And again, they were picked 11th in the conference, and they're in first right now. I got to tell you, this Cavalier thing is absolutely incredible. For all the things that I mentioned, I haven't mentioned everything. They've got George Hill coming in, too. They have completely revamped and rebuilt that roster already. And the trade deadline still is not until noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And Woj is having himself a morning. The bombs are flying. Woj is typically the busiest man at the trade deadline on the planet. But Kobe Altman is officially the busiest guy in the universe right now. I cannot believe the job that this guy's doing this morning. A complete overhaul of their roster. They're getting rid of older guys. They're getting younger. They're getting more athletic. I mean, they're not just rebuilding the airplane while it's in the air. They just built a totally new airplane while in the air. I've never seen anything like this. This is incredible what this guy's done in the last hour alone. Now, is it going to work? I have no idea. Is it simply one panic move after another? I really can't say. Is there any way that you can reassemble an entire roster and expect it to mesh right away in the second half? Impossible to know. But you can't respect or not respect what this guy's doing right now. This is unbelievable. They couldn't keep going with what they had and hope that anything different was going to happen. So this dude just blew this whole thing up. Duane going back to Miami. Isaiah Thomas, who lasted all of 15 games there, on his way out. Rodney Hood coming in. George Hill coming in. LeBron's got to be like, damn. And you wonder how much LeBron knew about any of it. Cavaliers fan, is your head spinning right now? We'll recap all of this when we come back. The Cavaliers are just going crazy before the trade deadline. Lakers make a big move before the deadline.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Cavaliers deal is just insane. So I started the interview with Chris Holtman by saying they made a big trade, and he said, really, what'd they do? And then I said they just made another trade. In the middle of the interview, they made another trade. I might get through this segment, and they'll make even another deal. Show friend Tom Haberstroh just put this out there. Here are the guys that are out. If you're joining us right now, the trade deadline's coming up at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. The Cavaliers have gone absolutely crazy. I've never seen a team revamp a roster like this before the trade deadline. And there's still plenty of time between now and the trade deadline. There's still 90 minutes left. How would you like to be a member of the Cavaliers right now? How would you like to be anybody who's left not named LeBron James and spending the next 90 minutes, given who's already left? In fact, Dave McMenamin from ESPN tweeted, quote, text just now from a Cavs player who remains on the roster after the upheaval. Quote, what just happened? I'll tell you what just happened, unnamed Cavs player. You just lost half your teammates in about an hour. All right, so here are the guys that are out. Isaiah Thomas, out, coming here to L.A. Dewanye, out, going back to Miami. Derrick Rose, out. Jay Crowder, out. Iman Shumpert, out. Channing Frye, out. 2018 pick, out. Here are the guys coming in. Lakers, Jordan Clarkson. Larry Nance Jr. They got George Hill, somebody they had been rumored to be chasing. They get Rodney Hood. They get a heavily protected future second-round pick. So a couple of thoughts. Now, what are they doing here? Are they rebuilding because LeBron is going to leave? Or are they revamping to make one last-ditch effort to convince LeBron to stay? Or are they doing something because they had to break that thing up because that was the worst locker room ever? Hey, any or all of the above? Put it this way, but before I say exactly what I think is going on, I got to let the dust settle because they might not be done yet. Like I said, before the end of the segment, they might make another deal. They may trade 8 more guys. I'm guessing LeBron is doing the exact same thing. Sitting back, taking it all in, seeing what's happening, seeing who is going out the door, see who they're getting in return. Then he has to meet all his new teammates and see how the thing comes together on the floor and whether or not the pieces fit, whether or not the whole thing meshes. But in the meantime, this is the ultimate, like, damn, what the hell just happened? What's going on here? And are they done yet? Absolutely incredible. Cavalier fans, what do you make of this? Let's go to Twitter, at Hitman Canadian tweets. My son's 2,000-piece Lego kit is easier to assemble than this Cavs roster. I mean, what are they doing? Are they making move after move after move to get the best kind of player they can get to change out the chemistry? Are any of these pieces going to fit? And we've seen this traditionally. Big moves at the trade deadline, it takes teams a long time to gel. How are they going to make all these pieces fit? Or maybe, again, is that not the plan? Do they know LeBron is going to leave, and are they setting this thing up for the future? Allen and Raleigh is in. War the Cavs, treating their roster like a game of draw poker. LeBron James is their ace, and they have discarded the rest of their hand. It's not a bad analogy. I mean, that certainly is how it feels. I've never seen a team get busted up like that and reassembled at the trade deadline. Never seen anything like this. Dewanye going back to Miami. Woj working it hard. Woj just tweeted, as part of a 3-team deal, Cleveland sends the 2020 second-round pick via Miami to Sacramento. So they get George Hill. My man Tom Tolbert's in. At Byron Jr. 23 tweets, the Cleveland what the bleep alliers. on Jim Rohn podcast, episode 19, he was a guest, and he did not believe that. He tweeted what he said. Windy is in. At Windhorst ESPN tweets, the Cavs did not get a commitment from LeBron James that he will stay past this season before executing today's trade, sources said. The team still took on $28 million, and they traded a future first rounder. They're doing everything they can. You can't say they're not trying. You cannot say they're not trying and that they're standing pat. So at least the Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers can say to their fans, in the event that LeBron bounces again, hey, look, we did everything we can. You can't say that we didn't do what we could to try to win right now, that we didn't do what we could to try to keep this guy. Look at what we did at the trade deadline. Everybody was killing us for the worst locker room ever, so we dropped a bomb on our locker room. Got rid of some bad seeds. Got rid of some parts or pieces that did not fit. So, in other words, if this guy goes, he's going on his own. He's not going because we didn't give him the help that he wanted or the help that he needed. And again, I'm not sure they're done. I want to see what else they get done before the end of the program. We will be on the air right up until the trade deadline, and we'll keep watching this for you. Also still ahead, I've got Caron Butler coming up. Jeremy Bloom is going to talk Olympics and football with us. Denver Dan's in. Quote, I'm not sure what happened, but my boss just called me into his office, and I'm officially a Cleveland Cavalier. Wouldn't surprise me. Frank and Boise. NBA to Philly fans SB parade. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
I don't think Philly fan cares. I think Philly fans probably numb right now on the parade route. I don't think they feel like they've been upstaged. Maybe on this show, maybe on a few others. Philly fans getting everything that they need and they want out of that parade route. I know because I went to Sharon, our producer, earlier, and he couldn't hear a word I was saying. I know they're having a day because Digger Phelps happened to call in on the call-in line on his own fruition. At Lenny Pets Too Hard tweets, Isaiah Thomas Cleveland video tribute will be a gif. Like I said, I don't think they're going to sweat that. That didn't go too well, did it? Kyrie's gone. Kyrie's killing it. Kyrie makes Boston the team to beat in the East right now. Isaiah Thomas comes in, physically was not recovered, was not the player that he was in Boston. And just part of that, I'm not blaming the bad chemistry they have on Isaiah, far from it, but he was part of that. And in recent days, lots of speculation about how these guys don't like each other. Yeah, like I need an anonymous source to tell me the Cavaliers don't like each other. You know how I know that? I watch them play. I see them blow 21-point leads and lose by 18 to lottery-bound teams. You know what that tells me? That doesn't tell me they had a bad night. That tells me they hate each other. You know how else I know they hate each other? The GM just traded more than half the team. That's something else that tells me these guys hate each other. Bad deal. But it's awesome to see what's going on. All right, we'll take a short time out. I've got Caron Butler top of the hour. I have Jeremy Bloom next hour. And I've got lots of time for your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Laker fans got rid of a couple of young guys. Laker fan, do you think it makes it more likely that LeBron is still in play? Or does it make it likely that they know that he's not in play? And that's why they made that deal. And they're setting it up for 2019. I'm going to tell you, it's a little bit of both. They're covered for 2018 and 2019. If 2018 doesn't work, they're covered for 2019. At DRod2203 tweets, can you please play that song all those D-list celebs sang to keep Bron Bron? Listen to these bags. That song went down before he bounced on live TV. I guarantee if LeBron was thinking back then, before he went with the announcement and he went on ESPN where he stabbed the entire state in the heart on live TV, if he had not made up his mind and he was on the fence, like, what do I do? You know, I'm Akron through and through. I can't leave these people. I can't leave my teammates. But, I mean, South Beach is South Beach and C-Town, C-Town. And I can come together with Duane and Chris Bosch. What do I do? What do I do? I need a sign. I need a sign. Something. Somebody tell me something. I guarantee one of his dudes said, hey, Bron, check this out. This might help. Hold up, Albie. Hey, Bron, I think I've got the sign you were looking for. If you need a sign, something to tell you which way to go, let me push play and I think you'll know. LeBron's like, yeah, that's it. I've been waiting for a sign, something to tell me whether I should stay and grind here or if I should go to South Beach and live the life and join forces with a couple of guys because it's never going to happen here. What is it? What is the sign? Listen, LeBron. Aw, hell no. Call Jim Gray, call ESPN, I'm out of here. It was like some local man, a local weatherman, some real worlder, a couple of D-listers, the number one real estate agent in Cleveland, some principal at a local high school, going with a We Are the World remake. I guarantee LeBron said, aw, hell no. South Beach, baby, fire up the smoke machine. Get Bosch and Duane on the phone. Call my man Jim Gray. We're doing this thing. Is that whole boys club thing set up? All right, let's do this. D-Rod in the 925 say, can you please play that song all those D-list celebrities sang to keep Bron? I wonder if they're getting that band back together too now. But Kobe Altman might not be done. He might not be done. All right, we'll take a short time out. I'll tell you what's not going to get lost in this because I'm not going to let it. Jungle karma. St. John's coming up big. Make damn sure the jungle karma is acknowledged. And I'm going to hit that when we come back. And we're tracking the trade deadline. Unbelievable day. Trade deadline's got a little under 90 minutes left. Why don't I get you a sports update? If you're just dropping in here right now and you're wondering what's going on, let me get you caught up. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As conditions on the field change, so can your insurance needs. Talk with a Farmers agent right now. You can assess whether your policy is game ready. Find an agent at farmers.com. Welcome back. Dear Rome, all hail the jungle karma. There's no way in the world the Red Storm win that game without that Mullen interview. Thanks, Jim. John. Troy, New York. I'll get there in a minute. The great Blue Dini tweets. Sources in Boston say Kyrie Irving has traded his garden salad for an extra lobster roll to enjoy his lunch just a little extra today. I'm sure. What a wild, wild day. All right, so before we go back to the trade deadline and the moves that the Cavaliers have made, how that impacts them, how it impacts the Lakers, Utah Jazz making some moves, Derrick Rose on his way to Salt Lake, Rodney Hood's on his way out, Duane headed back to South Beach to where it all started. Let me talk some college basketball for a minute. I've got Caron Butler also at the top of the hour. St. John's, 79. Top-ranked Villanova, 75. Jungle Karma, undefeated.
Brunson, long-range three from the right side, no good. This is history. Call your friends, folks. Guess what? If you didn't think that the win over fourth-ranked Duke Saturday at Madison Square Garden was not good enough, get a load of this. Here's your headline from Philadelphia as St. John's defeats the number one team in the country, 79-75.
St. John's. IMG Sports Network, if you need them. Hey, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again right now. Jungle karma is real. And you saw it in action on CBS Sports Network on Tuesday during the show, and then again on Wednesday night during the game. St. John's head coach and legend Chris Mullen came on this show Tuesday. Chris Mullen did a great interview, as he always has when he's come on this show. Then he takes his Red Storm down to Philadelphia, and they beat the number one team in the nation in their own house last night. Now, I don't want to take all the credit, but I will point out that was Nova's first loss since December and their first home loss all season long. How historic was that win? The last time St. John's beat the number one team in the nation, Chris Mullin was not coaching. Chris Mullin was playing, and he dropped 20 on Georgetown. That was 33 years ago. And let's be very clear about this, too. Jay Wright's crew is elite. They've got Jalen Brunson. He is the potential National Player of the Year. They've got scorers up and down that lineup, but they were powerless against something bigger than themselves, the Jungle Karma. Shamori Ponce had 26 for St. John's because, of course, he did. There was no way Chris Mullin was going to come on this show, and we were going to talk about Ponce and the fact that he has some Brooklyn in him, and then Ponce was going to go out and stink up the joint. Not happening. That was the same guy who rolled up to Mitch Kupchak and said, I'm Shamori Ponce, and I'm from Brooklyn. Of course he's going to have some karma and a great game. But that is the thing that's tricky about the karma. I get asked about this all the time. I still really can't even explain it after all these years. I know a few things about it, though. There are a few rules to the Jungle Karma. The rules are as follows. You come on this show, and you do a good interview on this show, you respect the show, the karma will follow you. Now, it's not always instant karma. It's not like the moment you hang up the phone, you're going to find a $20 bill on the ground, or you're going to cash a winning lottery ticket. But if you respect the show, the karma will respect you. If you disrespect the show, the karma will disrespect you. I know it's true. And now there's a simulcast element to this whole thing. Now, let me be honest. When we first started talking about the simulcast, I thought about the karma. What's going to happen to the karma? How would it be impacted by bringing cameras into my studio? Because you would think that having the show simulcast on CBS Sports Network might somehow not only demystify the entire thing, but certainly demystify some of the karma. You see, when you bring in the cameras and you let people behind the scenes, some of the mystery fades. That's why I didn't want to do this for a long time. I thought the show had a little bit of mystique. I thought it had kind of an aura. And I thought the mystery would fade. But it hasn't. Because the Jungle Karma cannot be demystified. The Jungle Karma cannot be controlled. The Jungle Karma is a freaking force. It is larger than me. It is larger than you. It is larger than all of us. And Chris Mullin had a huge dose of it last night. And as if things could not get any better for St. John's and their fans, I have even better news for you right now. The legend, Rich Ackerman, is on the call for their game Saturday against Marquette. And you best believe that Smackerman has got some serious jungle karma.
Karma.
Trust me on that. Jungle karma. It's real. It will not be demystified. It will not be denied. It's all right there for you. How about a good telephone call? Last time I said, pick me up. Last time I said, pick me up, Rick in Buffalo called. Let me tell you about something else that came up. And stop me if I said this already. Hey, Hawk, you can go ahead and stop me if I've said this already on the air. The last time Rick in Buffalo called, we put the call on our Facebook page. You know, I'm constantly directing you to Twitter and sometimes Instagram. I don't direct you all to our Facebook page very often because a lot of you have already found it. We've got 300,000 likes on our Facebook page. James Kelly has taken this upon himself. My man James Kelly's great. He goes rogue on certain things. Kelly just does things. James Kelly just does things with the brand and our social that I don't know about. And James Kelly one day just thought, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put some of the calls up on the Facebook page. Rick in Buffalo. It's another reason why people want to call this show. Not just to be on TV. But what we're doing is we're pushing out the best content. And the best content does not only come from me. If it's really good content, we will push it out. Let me give you an example. Rick in Buffalo calls. That call that he made last time at last check had 18,000 views on Facebook. That's when I checked it last. I just checked it. 30,000 views. 30,000 people have viewed that call. I mean, that doesn't even take into account how many millions of people heard it when he made the call. 30,000 additionally on Facebook have viewed that call. Let me give you a comparison. By comparison, that same day, Zach Ertz was on this show, did an incredible interview. This guy had a huge touchdown reception in the Super Bowl, came on the show right after. He talked about it and did a really, really good interview. We put part of that interview up on that same Facebook page. At last check, 6,000 views. And can I tell you, 6,000 is a good number. 6,000 views for an athlete interview, in part, is a good number. Rick in Buffalo had five times that amount. A clone talking junk had five times the number of views than a Super Bowl winning tight end.
Unwar, arrogant, and hypocritical New Englanders. Now you can get back to pretending you like the Red Sox, you front runners. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
So do you see what's going on here? The Rome brand, in association with the CBS brand, is making stars and idols out of many of you. Because we have this great content from me, from our guests, and even from some of you callers, and we're pushing it out across all the platforms. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, the Jungle Twitter feed, the Jungle Instagram, the Jungle Facebook. In other words, clones, if you have something good to offer, I'm going to push it out there, and you're going to look really damn good. Ask Rick in Buffalo. 40,000 views. And by virtue of my mentioning that on the simulcast right now, he'll probably get another 10 or 15, Gurr. Hey, remember when that guy called up earlier and said, oh, great, Rome, a big story out of L.A.? You know what that means, don't you? Matt in L.A. is going to call with a take. Here he is. Hey, Matt, you got to hold on. I don't have time for it right now. I don't mean like I don't have time for you. I got better things to do. I mean, I don't have time for you right now. It's the end of the hour. So let me set up hour number three. Caron Butler is going to start hour number three. And then I've got Jeremy Bloom coming up. Two-time U.S. Olympian and a former All-American football player of Colorado. He was drafted by the Eagles. So he will be in hour number three also. This email says, Dear Jim, so hilarious to hear that Philly police chief imploring knuckleheads to stay away from today's festivities. Take it from a guy who used to teach high school who knows a thing or two about knuckleheads. A knucklehead does not know he's a knucklehead. So no good trying to call one out as being part of that group.
Knucklehead.
On top of that, knuckleheads are born into this life with the single and sole purpose of going knucklehead on days like today. Knuckleheads are caterpillars in cocoons until a championship parade comes along to transform them into beautifully and ragingly intoxicated, ass-kicking butterflies. So don't worry about it, Philly. Just enjoy it. Fraternally yours, your brother in knuckleheaddom, Everett, in the proud, shiny, up-and-coming city of Buffalo. Bills Mafia Don. Hey, Everett, that's a great take. Too bad I had it yesterday.
Knucklehead.
Caron Butler joins me when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Having an awesome Thursday here in the jungle. You are listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching on CBS Sports Network.